coincidences? What are they really, and why do they split us into opposing camps? Some see them as cosmic signs, the stars aligning, divine timing at work. Others brush them off as pure randomness, nothing worth dwelling on, and sure, maybe that's all they are. Sometimes. But then, there are those moments where things line up so perfectly, so eerily, that you can't help but wonder, could this truly be random? Or is there something more at play? So today, we're diving into a conspiracy that might just edge closer to reality than mere coincidence. But first, allow me to set the stage. In 1957, a metallic beep from space sent America into panic. The Soviet Union had launched Sputnik 1, the world's first satellite, proof that a rival superpower could dominate the skies. Overnight, the US faced a crisis of confidence. How had they fallen behind in what would come to be known as the space race? President Eisenhower's answer? ARPA, a secretive tech squad tasked with ensuring that America would never be caught off guard again. Born in 1958 as the Advanced Research Projects Agency, its mission was radical. Fund high-risk, high-reward science, too wild for corporations or the military to touch. Think less incremental upgrades, more what if we invent the internet? In 1972, it added a D for defense, becoming DARPA, to clarify its focus on safeguarding national security. Now, DARPA's high-risk, high-reward model surely paid off in ways that now define our modern life. Like in the 1960s, DARPA had a problem. How do you keep communication alive if nuclear war wipes out key infrastructure? Their solution? ARPANET, the first network to connect computers across long distances. This packet-switching technology became the backbone of what we now call the internet. But DARPA wasn't just thinking about the internet. They were also figuring out how to navigate the world with pinpoint accuracy. Long before Google Maps could save you from a wrong turn, DARPA's transit satellites were helping military submarines find their way. By the 1970s, this tech evolved into the Global Positioning System, aka GPS. What started as a top-secret military tool now guides our road trips, late-night Uber rides, you name it. And while DARPA was busy mapping the world, they were also making machines smart enough to move through it on their own. Before Boston Dynamics had robots doing parkour and ChatGPT was answering your late-night questions, DARPA was already ahead of the game. Back in the 1960s, they funded Shakey, the first mobile robot with common sense. It was clunky, slow, and about as graceful as a Roomba stuck in a corner, but it laid the groundwork for AI-driven autonomy. Fast forward to the 2000s and DARPA launched the Grand Challenge, a wild desert race for self-driving cars. At first, the robots could barely make it a few miles, but that research helped spark the tech behind today's autonomous vehicles, drones, and even AI like ChatGPT or DeepSeek. But look, I'm not here to glaze this government agency. I'm here to talk about another invention they were behind. This time, they might have let someone else take the credit. Essentially crafting a persona, a frontman, a puppet, to carry out their real agenda. A move that let them hit a goal way bigger than anything they had ever imagined. Project LifeLog was an ambitious DARPA initiative launched around 2003 by the Information Processing Techniques Office, with the bold vision of capturing every nuance of a person's life. The idea was to create an ontology-based digital diary, a comprehensive, searchable record of an individual's experiences. In essence, LifeLog aimed to automatically log everything from phone calls, emails, and video footage to GPS data and biometric readings. This vast repository of personal data was intended to fuel advanced cognitive computing research, helping develop intelligent assistants capable of remembering details that human memory would naturally fade. At the heart of LifeLog was Dr. Douglas Gage, who championed the project at DARPA. Gage and his team envisioned LifeLog not only as a personal archive, but also as a tool to model human behavior, By analyzing continuous streams of data, LifeLog was designed to trace the threads of a person's daily life, mapping events, habits, and relationships to create a digital surrogate memory. This breakthrough was seen as a potential stepping stone toward building AI systems that could understand and predict human actions. However, the project quickly ignited fierce controversy. Mainstream media and privacy advocates, drawing parallels to DARPA's Total Information Awareness Program, warned that LifeLog could pave the way for intrusive government surveillance. High-profile critics such as William Safire and representatives from organizations like the Electronic Frontier Foundation raised alarms over potential erosion of privacy rights. DARPA spokesperson Jan Walker eventually cited, quote, "a change in priorities" when the agency quietly canceled LifeLog. By February 4, 2004, the Pentagon had officially shut down LifeLog. Despite its ambitious vision, the intense scrutiny and public backlash over privacy concerns ultimately doomed the project before it could reach its full potential. On the very day that this government project was halted, a strikingly similar invention was born. One that shared its ambitious vision, yet was presented under the guise of youthful curiosity. Instead of appearing to be an invasive technology destined to govern every facet of our lives, it sought to connect everyday people. But let's rewind for a second. On October 28, 2003, the creator of what we now know as Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, got his start with a website that was just as controversial as it was short-lived. That site, FaceMash, a platform that let Harvard students compare the attractiveness of their classmates. At the time, many saw it as shallow, but ironically, the same kind of social validation it introduced would later become the norm. Despite the backlash, FaceMash quickly gained traction on campus until Harvard's administration caught wind of how it was built. Turns out, Zuckerberg hacked into Harvard's security network, pulling ID photos from the dormitory system without permission to populate his site. That little stunt got FaceMash shut down almost as fast as it went viral. Well, after FaceMash, Mark teamed up with fellow Harvard students Divya Narendra and the Winklevoss twins, who approached him for help with their unique website. The site was called Harvard Connection, later rebranded as ConnectU. And its goal was simple: connect students on campus and from other schools by creating profiles, uploading photos, names, moments, you name it. But as the story goes, Mark allegedly stole the concept, stalling their project for months while claiming he was working on his part, only to launch his own similar platform, the Facebook, on the very day Project LifeLog was shut down. When Divya and the Winklevoss twins learned about the launch of thefacebook.com, they quickly accused Mark of intellectual property theft and breach of contract. This led to a four-year legal battle that concluded in a $65 million settlement in 2008. The settlement naturally fueled the public perception of Mark's guilt, a narrative further amplified by the 2010 film The Social Network and a series of leaked emails and texts that emerged around the same time. Beyond the allegations of IP theft, Facebook also grappled with growing pains related to user privacy. Even though users willingly uploaded their own information, concerns about privacy still stirred up challenges for the company. Much like DARPA's LifeLog, which never came to fruition due to privacy issues, Facebook faced similar hurdles. However, given that Facebook became so deeply embedded in modern society, it managed to overcome most of these legal challenges. Now hear me out, there's something about the timing of Facebook's launch and DARPA's shutdown of LifeLog that just doesn't sit right. The concepts are eerily similar, which raises the question, was Facebook essentially a front for DARPA's original idea? If that's the case, where did DARPA even get this idea in the first place? Douglas Gage mentioned in an interview that Project LifeLog was initially approved in December 2002. Right around the same time Harvard Connection was getting off the ground. That's the very site Mark Zuckerberg would later be accused of ripping off, before launching his own version on the same exact day LifeLog was shut down. But according to Gage, LifeLog itself was inspired by a 2001 Microsoft experiment called My Life Bits, another digital diary concept that he sought to build upon. Given the nature of the project, it wouldn't be unusual for a federal agency like DARPA to tap into the talent from top-tier universities, Harvard included. But truthfully, I couldn't find any definitive proof that DARPA sourced Harvard students for the idea behind LifeLog. However, it's certainly not impossible. Again, I'm just speculating here, but that's kind of the point of this video, exploring possible explanations to suggest that this so-called coincidence might be more than just chance. Facebook's first outside investor, Peter Thiel, co-founder of PayPal, which experienced massive growth in the late 90s and early 2000s, invested $500,000 in Facebook, clearly recognizing its potential. Around 2003, Thiel also co-founded Planeteer Technologies, a company specializing in software platforms for big data analytics. Quite fitting for someone running a big data analytic company to invest in Facebook, a company that would go on to mine billions of people's data. It's worth noting that Planeteer holds contracts with several government agencies, including the FBI, CIA, and NSA, which makes you think twice about Facebook's first outside investor backing a platform that launched on the same day an eerily similar government project was shut down. Considering the premise of this video, that Facebook is secretly DARPA's LifeLog in disguise, it's quite the smack in the face that in April 2016, Facebook enlisted former DARPA executive Regina Dugan to lead the development of a DARPA-style research lab called Building 8. The goal?
What if you could type directly from your brain?
Yet despite its ambitious vision, Building 8 was quietly shut down in 2018, with its projects absorbed into Facebook Reality Labs. Anyways, I'm definitely not the first to bring it up, but it does make you think twice about the true origins of this platform that billions use today. The creator of LifeLog, Douglas Gage, even said in an interview, quote, "I think that Facebook is the real face of pseudo-LifeLog at this point." So was it really just a coincidence that this social media giant accomplished exactly what DARPA had envisioned at the exact same time? Or was Mark in on it from the start? Maybe even hand-picked by the powers that shouldn't be to play the role of its creator, the face of the operation, the puppet in plain sight. What's so interesting about Mark Zuckerberg is that this man has been wrapped up in a laundry list of conspiracies, far beyond just the LifeLog and Facebook connection. A lot of people online used to poke fun at Zuckerberg for his awkward demeanor. He wasn't exactly the life of the party. But as he became a household name and started doing more interviews, people began noticing some oddities.
But it is going to bother you because you're human, and I was human. I am human, still. But I was just referring to myself in the past. Not that I was not human.
Boy, if you don't get...
There were whispers about his mannerisms and overall character just not feeling quite human. In fact, some went as far as to suggest he was a shape-shifting lizard, straight-up David Icke type shit.
You know, one of the crazy things when you do these live Q&As is some of them are very silly. So we got one, Mark, are the allegations true that you are secretly a lizard? I'm gonna have to go with no on that. I am not a lizard.
Cap.
Fast forward to today, and the Mark we once knew, this plain dressing, nerdy, almost robotic tech guy, has morphed into something else entirely. He's now hoping to be seen as a Trump-supporting, truth-spreading advocate, dedicated to transforming his platform back to a less censored state.
Hey everyone, I want to talk about something important today, because it's time to get back to our roots around free expression on Facebook and Instagram. I started building social media to give people a voice. I gave a speech at Georgetown 5 years ago about the importance of protecting free expression, and I still believe this today.
This shift became even more clear when he appeared on the Joe Rogan podcast, going on to admit that Facebook had, in fact, been censoring posts and shadow banning pages, especially in response to government pressures during the pandemic. Yet many people saw through this dramatic persona change and started questioning his true intentions. Now, with all that said, let's get into the numbers. For those new to the channel, I analyze stories through the lens of Gematria, an ancient Kabbalistic practice that uses an alphanumeric system to encode numbers into letters, words, and phrases. When combined with date numerology, hidden patterns begin to emerge, and for those with good pattern recognition skills, it reveals a side of a narrative that wouldn't typically be told, only concealed in plain sight. Firstly, let's start off with some numerical context. The words Washington, D.C., authority, and government, which all go hand in hand with each other, hold the value of 137 in Gematria. Notice 137 is the 33rd prime number. This matters because we're discussing the federal agency DARPA and their mysteriously shut down Project LifeLog, which, suspiciously, seems to have been repackaged as Facebook to the masses. Notice LifeLog, federal, and the word secrecy all equal 33 by no coincidence. But consider that DARPA was founded on February 7th, 1958, a date with 32 numerology, conveniently matching the name of the federal agency. Now remember, DARPA decided to shut down Project LifeLog the same day Facebook was launched, and all the public really got was a woman by the name of Jan Walker telling the media that there was a, quote, change in priorities. DARPA was founded in 1958, emphasis on the 58, and the name Facebook and Jan Walker both equate to 58. Again, it's almost as if all of this was carefully coordinated and planned, if you will. And remember, this happened on February 4th, 2004, a date written as 2/4, like the number 24. Even the year 2004, when you remove the zeros, leaves you with the 24. Using the Latin cipher, which follows the Hebrew Gematria numerical progression, a highly prominent cipher alongside the 4 base, you'll see that the original name of Facebook, the Facebook, equals 240 in this cipher. The date could also be written as 4/2, like the number 42, which connects to words like ARPANET, the precursor to the internet created by DARPA, the main culprit, and internet also equals 42. Just like the word computer. It's worth pointing out, of course, given that this website Facebook launched on 4/2 and would go on to change how people use the internet and their computers for years to come. But what about how the full name for DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, equals 199 in the reverse reduction, which is the 46 prime number, syncing with the Facebook, the original name of Facebook, a site that is literally what DARPA planned on achieving? What makes it even more interesting is that, remember, Mark Zuckerberg was working on his own data goldmine around the same time DARPA was starting Project LifeLog, and Mark released the short-lived website FaceMash on October 28, 2003, a date with 43 numerology matching the name FaceMash. But to add another layer that made me think this whole backstory was carefully planned is how the site ConnectU, which was essentially the same concept as Facebook, which I contend could be a front for DARPA's Project LifeLog, has some interesting gematria. Notice ConnectU launched 15 weeks and 3 days from Facebook and the shutdown of Project LifeLog, and what are the odds that Project LifeLog equals 153 in the ordinal cipher? Also, the date ConnectU launched their site was May 21st, 2004, a date with 32 numerology matching with the name ConnectU and DARPA. Now again, I'm speculating that Mark may have been handpicked to be the face of this brand, a carefully chosen figure to push this service in a way that cleverly repackaged a government project, all to shift the focus away from the government while getting people to hand over their most personal details willingly. As you can see, the name Mark Zuckerberg, the owner of the world's biggest social media platform, matches in gematria the phrase social media platform in his name. And remember that film, The Social Network, the one that cemented the origins of Facebook to the masses? Well, that released on October 1st, 2010, a date with 41 numerology, matching with Facebook. But notice Mark was born on May 14, 1984, a date with 41 and 32 numerology, matching perfectly with Facebook, the website that would practically serve the exact same purpose as DARPA's Project LifeLog. Something else to consider is that Facebook launched exactly 38 weeks after Mark's 19th birthday. And again, the whole point I'm getting at here is that Mark is nothing more than a frontman, the one we're supposed to believe was behind this digital diary goldmine that just so happened to launch the same day its government equivalent was shut down. Well, notice how his full name and the word frontman all align almost like he was picked specifically by the numbers. And remember where this alphanumeric code of gematria comes from. It's Kabbalah. Both of those words equal 38, like the word Jew, which I'm sure you see how that makes sense, and the word technology. And this video is about one of the biggest names in the technology industry being a frontman. I mean, when you consider Mark's ethnicity and the code I'm using to decode this narrative, well, I mean, you start to wonder, like, is there something there? And not to go down too deep of a rabbit hole with this one, but Mark was born the same day the state of Israel was recognized, May 14th. And we know how them boys got a grip on the American corporate system with their people in some of the top positions and, of course, funding American politics. So is it really a stretch to think this also ties into it in some way? I mean, there was a coalition of international organizations demanding Meta, previously Facebook, has been censoring people's posts involving the word Zionist or Zionism, especially in light of the Palestine and Israel situation. And of course, Mark's gonna ride for his side in all seriousness. I mean, it's even in his name. Plus, the idea of DARPA and the State of Israel working together is certainly a thing. From their recent funding of AI studies at the Ben-Gurion University to their work with top Israeli tech companies. But look, all I could say is, remember that one Shakespeare quote. All the world's a stage and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts. As always, I appreciate you for sticking around to the end. I hope you enjoyed this video. And if you did, please do your boy a favor and hit that like button. Share your thoughts down below. Am I reaching or is there something to this? Remember to share the video. And most importantly, subscribe, man. It's been your boy Script. And I'm out of here. Peace.
Peace. Peace. Peace.